And as is our custom, we will read together. So turn to Romans. We are in Romans today. We're taking a little break from Matthew. Romans chapter 10. Turn to Romans chapter 10. If you have one of the blue hard-covered ESV Bibles, it would be on page 946. Romans chapter 10. Let's stand together and we will read aloud from God's Word, Romans 10, beginning at verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if we confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May God bless the reading of his holy, inerrant, inspired, and sufficient word. Please be seated. So a few years ago, actually more than just a few, as a young dad, as well as a new and immature believer, I composed a list of rules that I wanted my children to keep and obey. I don't show it to anyone. Oh, yes, I've hung on to it. I hang on to it to remind myself of just how unhelpful it was and how foolish I can be. Putting more importance on requiring a rigid obedience instead of nurturing grace and love. The law of the Old Covenant was given by God through Moses. Nearing the end of his life, Moses appealed to the people of Israel to obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments. This is found towards the end of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in particular. Well before he was dead and gone, Moses had anticipated the people's complaint that the law was too difficult for them or beyond their reach. And so he assured them, but the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Now the Apostle Paul here in Romans, ahead of our reading this morning, has already explained that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed. Why? Because they did not pursue righteousness by faith, as did their father Abraham. And so, they did what was prophesied about them. They stumbled. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And here, in our passage today, Paul borrows from Moses, words, Deuteronomy 30, in making his appeal. But he reapplies the words of Deuteronomy 30 to the people of God's new covenant and of faith in Christ, saying, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I shared with you a few weeks ago that the nucleus of the gospel is the good news that a king has come, a king has been born. Even as the angels declared, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. I bring you gospel of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You see, throughout the Roman Empire, at the time of Jesus' birth and well after his ascension, his return to heaven, if you were to refuse to confess that Caesar is Lord, you would be put to death. And so many of our ancient brothers and sisters were martyred for the love of Christ and for joyfully confessing that Jesus is Lord. Thus, bearing evidence that anyone born of God has this testimony concerning Jesus, that the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. But this also is coupled with the belief that from the heart that God raised him from the dead. Belief in Jesus' resurrection is to acknowledge that he is Lord of all. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. We call upon a living Savior. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just as we sang, "Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save." The Apostle Paul had to address this issue in his first letter to the Corinthians. There were those who questioned the belief in the resurrection, to which Paul firmly asserts, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men, all people, most miserable. But now is Christ risen." Hallelujah. God has always been about proving his love, nurturing a reciprocal love. We love because he first loved us. Consider the great lengths to which he went in redeeming Israel from their bondage in Egypt, which was only a shadow of the great lengths to which he went in redeeming his people from their bondage to sin and the judgment we so justly deserved. But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds, yet visible above in beauty, glorified. Those are not words that I connect with the nail prints, in his hands where the nails were driven through, and his side where the spear was driven in. I don't associate the words with rich and beauty. I don't associate those words, but they are rich wounds, visible above, in beauty glorified. And so Paul writes here in Romans, back in chapter 8, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised again, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And I so desperately need him interceding for me, because I still do not keep the law of Christ, the law of love, perfectly. Like I said, I've hung on to my list of rules. I don't show it to anyone. In fact, I never showed it to my kids. It reminds me, though, of just how foolish I can be. God, on the other hand, has hung on to his list of rules. The old covenant. And he willingly shows it to us and to everyone. He does so that all might see their need of the Savior, and for the grace and forgiveness that can only be found in Christ, secured for all who confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. Let's pray. What a beautiful, beautiful gospel you have given us. What a beautiful Savior. What beautiful promises. What a beautiful covenant, a new covenant you have given to us, Lord God. Lord, may we leave this place today more convinced than ever of your great love for us and your provision for us in grace and mercy, in forgiveness and reconciliation, all through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, be glorified in our lives, where we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.